Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Hi, I want to welcome everybody. I am Robin Massevins, your host here at the Transformation Cafe, and we've got some regular diners, which I love to call our call-in people, coming up and scooting up to the counter and the desk and all the wonderful things we have here at the cafe. How are we, ladies?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Everybody chimes in. That's good. So we have Miss Amy. My sister is joining us once again. I'd love to call her a change agent. She's a life coach in Las Vegas, Nevada, and really she also works in the Orange County, California area as well. So, hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I am planetary. I can go anywhere.
Oh,
probably,
my God.
She's on this planet.
You're galactic. Galactic.
Well, all right. I didn't want to get that carried away, but it's true.
Okay. And we have Michelle. Michelle, how are you tonight?
I'm great. I'm earthbound.
You're earthbound, and we're glad to have somebody earthbound. Thank you for holding Mother Earth in such a lovely way. That's very good. Yes, thank you. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Well, I am good, but I have to say that, you know, staying grounded has always been an issue for me. I always feel like I'm floating away like a balloon. I'm like caught between the two of them.
Okay, so you're in the middle. Well, that's good.
She's in orbit.
She's in orbit. Okay, that's good. And again, I am Robin Misevich. I am your host tonight, and I'm holding down the fort. How about that? We're holding the fort down here, too. So I guess I'm grounded as well, so that's good. So I wanted to back up just a little bit. We're on our show is TC 277 with the Cafe Book Club. So excited to be doing a book review. It's just very, very fun. It's so neat to have all these wonderful conversations that we've got going on tonight. Tonight we're, and again, just a review for everybody who's jumping in and not really knowing what we're doing real here quick. We're reviewing the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert, and she's the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and this is her newest book, and it's all about creativity, and we're on the third section, which is called Permission, and I'm calling it the Permission Slip tonight. So just to back up a little bit, last week we were doing Enchantment, and it really was talking about how ideas are energetic life forms, and ideas of just, they have their own energy wanting to go out and be able to be manifesting in the world, and they're always looking for someone to be able to have a good partnership with that they can be able to bring those things into the world. So if you go back to our show, again, that was 276, Dr. Kim joined us, and she was talking really a wonderful story about how she had been working with a scientist who had invented the touch screen. And he had been talking about how he felt that his job was just really to be a listener to the voice and being able to create things and getting very quiet to be able to have that happen. So I just thought that was a neat thing that was brought out into the show about having it be just this wonderful relationship with creativity and, you know, ideas that are looking for partners to manifest. And so I want to kind of put it out to Amy, since she joined us last week. And actually, Michelle was listening in last week, too, so I'd really like you guys to be able to put out there, and actually all three of you lovely ladies. So when it comes to ideas, do you feel like this last week you had any that really came to visit you? And if you did you collaborate with them, or did you kind of send them on their way? What kind of happened for any of you guys? So how about you, Amy? Why don't we start with you?
And one thing that I want to make a comment on, I want to comment on our silent partner here, or our silent book club member, Andrew, who is very, very vocal when you go look at transformation-cafe.com and the beautiful work that he does after these podcasts and takes the information and makes it so you can understand what's going on with it. I love how she calls them parts, not chapters, which is interesting. I'm still kind of being with that. And one thing that I really want to make sure people look at, of course, is the Cafe Book Club Forum. And Andy always puts these amazing questions for us to ponder after each section. So that's something to definitely look at. So for me, so last week it was really, really fascinating, this idea of catching ideas and how ideas are always looking for a collaborative partner. And what I've really been sitting with this last week is, what is the idea that's chasing me, or I'm chasing it? I think it's chasing me. I think it's a, or maybe it's a bit of a dance. I'd like kind of look at it that way. We're dating. We're kind of dating this idea in me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Kim, who's with us last week, she and I are in 2016 Strategic Leader Encyclopedia are going to have a, and I talked about this last week, a chapter on self-care for leaders. And so what I've been dancing with is, what I love about that is it isn't nurses or teachers or veterans. It's I can take that idea in all kinds of arenas. And so something that I am doing right now is I'm clearing out my house and my office and creating space for this idea. And I'm really looking at it, really stepping in 2016, and I'm looking for all those clues to what this idea is, how it wants to manifest.
That's great. Cause Elizabeth talks about that whenever she had a new idea that she was going to have coming in, she would clear her desk and make room for the new idea and just all the information that would come to her and have it a place where, you know, it had a place to land, like you're saying. That's great. That's awesome. So how about you, Michelle?
Interestingly, I had an inspirational idea about 2 years ago to create a metal sculpture, very specific metal sculpture, and I've never worked in that arena, never even thought about doing it. And at the time, I took a welding class and started to investigate what it would take in order to produce this sculpture, and it seemed to need a lot of machinery, a lot of expertise, a lot of investment. And I had been guided to a person who was actually a teacher for welding, but every time I asked him for help, he told me yes, but then told me not now, and it just kind of dwindled off. And then lo and behold, on Sunday I went to walk in a botanic garden, and there was art in the garden, and the man who I had taken the workshop with for the sculpture was there.
Wow.
And the week before, the idea had returned.
Oh, before I even saw him.
Huh?
Before you even saw him, you saw it and you thought of it again.
The week before the week before I saw him, the idea had returned. So it does take, and this man offered his time, his workshop, and his expertise, you know, if I paid him to help mm-hmm. me to create this thing, because I'm really not at a level that I could create it on my own. So mm-hmm. I'm just kind of sitting with whether or not I want to pursue that and invest financially to bring this inspiration to fruition.
That's interesting. It came out.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. Let's talk about that with your permission slip. And then for me, I'm kind of on both sides. I think it's kind of interesting. I've been, Michelle and I are going to be doing a yard sale this next weekend. And so it gave me a real great opportunity to go through a bunch of stuff. And same thing, I had all these ideas that I'd been putting down. Amy talked last week about having an idea journal. And I found mine while I was going through some stuff that, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do with things, sort of flipping through there and got all excited again about different things that I'd put aside for a while. And since I've looked at that, my journal, a lot of just resources and things like that have come to, like, things that I have, or I've talked to people again, just like Michelle. So it's real interesting when you think you put it aside and you're not going to do anything with it, but yet it's just like that relationship, you know, you call that person or you send them a note or something like that, and everything gets rekindled again. So I think it's real interesting with that. How about you, Gloria? Did you have any ideas or anything that came up this week that you have been maybe sitting for a while?
Well, I've been working on getting the book put out. So the idea of getting all of my notes sorted and going through historical things, and I realized today that I need to be doing both. So taking action on the actual writing as well as compiling and going through all of my notes looking for stragglers on thought. Mm. So the idea of being creative and just moving forward in that creative process while looking backwards is quite an interesting space to be in.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So, you know, it seems like we're all kind of in the same place. That's really cool. That's very, very neat and kind of curious. But it's like when you start working in that energy, you know, all of us on a collaborative level, on an energetic level, I'm sure we're all being there to support each other. So that's a really, really cool idea. So let's kind of dive into permission. I love the chapter. I thought it was really great. I definitely had some ahas about the way that I've thought about permission. Even though I've looked at stuff, I'd love to hear Amy's spin on any of this, because Amy's one of the things Amy does with her as a creativity agent and being a life coach is she uses a lot of creativity in helping people to tap into those different aspects of themselves that they may not know about. But to start off right off the bat with the chapter on page 86, she talks about the suggestion box. And she really gets into looking at her mom and dad and how they contributed to how she became a writer. And I love how her dad, she quotes how her dad was always didn't look for permission for anybody else. And he was always that kind of person that if he had a curiosity about something, he was going to pursue it. So, you know, he was an engineer, but he still was curious about, gee, I think I like to raise goats. And the next thing you know, there's goats in the back of the Pinto and he's driving them home, that kind of thing. And then he decided he wanted to be a beekeeper. So there were bees at the house. So he always had the things that he was working with, even though, you know, he kept his day job. He definitely had other things that he was interested in that really helped to enrich, you know, the whole family's life with different aspects of himself. As, you know, he shared his curiosity with his family, along with his mom, that they both had things that they loved to create and made that a part of the whole family's dynamic. And one thing I really love that Elizabeth said is she said, they never really looked at me like I was doing anything out of the ordinary, and so I never really worried about it. I knew I could take care of myself because they were showing me how they took care of us. So I thought that was a really neat way of being able to give yourself permission, because it's not a matter of like looking for other people to do that for you, but just recognizing that, you know, through who I am and who I've known myself to be through my family, I can definitely step into things and have it be something that leads me on to the next thing. We kind of talked about that before we even started with permission, about all of us we had a prompting or something, whether it was something we wrote in a journal or ideas that we had, and now they're coming back again because we're curious about, well, let me follow that again because it's come up again for whatever reason. So what do you think about all that, Amy, with when it comes to having things where it's curious? Are there things that you've really helped with, just different people that you've assisted with your coaching?
Well, a point I want to bring home is that she starts on the very beginning here talking about how she didn't grow up with a family of artists. And, you know,
right.
Her dad was an engineer, her mother a nurse. But then she proceeds to tell us about this curiosity. And she talks about her father and how he was curious about things and he pursued them, that he has solid faith in his own capabilities. And so I think mm-hmm. a lot of times if you say, I'm a creative person, I bet her mom and dad would both go, nah, that's not true. But they are the epitome of creative life. And I think that's where, you know, for me personally and for a lot of people that I deal with and support, is they don't see themselves as creative. And what I love about what we're doing here is giving creativity a broader definition. And I think that is really exciting. And one thing I have to out you here a little bit. And she was, first of all, she talks about her mom, and she said her mom had a will of titanium, and her talents were vast. And so, really looking at new faces of creativity. So I'm going to out you here a little bit. On page 85, she talks about mm-hmm. her mother, and she says she smiled sweetly at everyone and always acted like a total cooperator. But then she shaped her own world exactly to her liking while nobody was looking.
Mhm. Mhm.
That ain't Robin.
Yeah,
I don't know who. I don't know who is.
I've been accused of that.
No accusing. I'm just stating the facts as I see them.
Smile sweetly and do it anyway. Okay, that's good.
Well, and part of that was you know in your heart how you best function creatively. And so mm-hmm. you stick to your guns. We're back to the Fort analogy. You stick to your guns.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that my biggest challenge has been in a creative way is, like Amy said, you know, having a sense of integrity with what I wanted to create and then having the world around me, what would that look like for supporting others and making sure I'm supporting myself at the same time. I don't lose
exactly.
myself in the process. Yeah, I'm not losing myself in the process.
And especially when you're doing it in a workplace, like, you know, a flower shop, that's a very creative, fun place. And there's a lot of hard work that goes on. And it's just the
right.
nuts and bolts of running a business, of getting out products. So it's like, how do you balance that creativity, right, and doing
right.
a business? And, you know, one thing I want to come back to that line on page 89 about creativity here. As you said, are you considering becoming a creative person? Too late. You're already one. To even
mm-hmm.
call somebody a creative person is almost a laughable redundancy. Creativity is the hallmark of our species.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And that's such a profound thing to say that, you know, no matter what you do, you're creative. It came in that way. So, you know, it's okay thinking that, you know, if you're alive, you are creative. I
Amen.
Love that. It's so great.
Can I
that,
say
so.
Something?
Yes, please.
As we've been doing this book club, more often than not, I'm thinking of my creativity in terms of my thoughts and how I'm actually just creating my life rather than the things that I make.
Mm.
But because I am actively focusing on changing the life that I've had to a different way of being in the world, when I focus on this, on the book, I always take everything to heart in how am I creating my life? How am I making decisions? How am I having thoughts, then making decisions to create a certain life? And when you're talking about the business, like, yes, for flowers, like, that is creative, but every decision you make in the business is also creative too. You know, where you
mm-hmm.
get your flowers, how you pay your bills, who you're going to work with. It's all creative.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's
Beautiful.
Not a cult, it still is creative. Every single thought is creative.
Well, just like, you know, talking about Elizabeth's mom and dad, you know, he was an engineer, she was a nurse. Those are creative in themselves.
Absolutely.
You know, you might be a J-O-B, but they definitely are using their thoughts and talents and their gifts and the way that they walk through their days and how they're affecting other people and themselves.
Yeah.
And it's all creativity. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a really good point to make when people
it
say,
is.
Well, I'm at work. I'm like, no, you're being creative in everything that you do. And it's that creativity of, you know, creative living.
Yeah.
And having,
I mean, even the way you decide to treat a person and speak to a person. You know, the tone
right.
of voice. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Everything is good. If you decide to breathe deeply or not.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's all create, you know, like you're saying, coming from thought and moving that into action. What am I going, you know,
well, and,
my behavior and what do I do with that? Yeah, it's creative.
Most people who have filled out their tax returns are creative.
Absolutely. They're very creative.
And a few who don't file taxes are even more creative.
And if not now, then later.
And depending
and
on where you are and where your research is, yeah, we could go on and on with that. Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I wanted to bring up is, we haven't really talked about it on the show yet, is has created a whole podcast that complements a lot of these conversations, a lot of what she has in the book. And what I love is she's really brought people that are just wonderful resources to the conversation. And if you go to Magic Lessons on YouTube, there's at least 12 episodes of her having conversations. She has three or four different women that are struggling with their creativity and she has one-on-one conversations with them about it and working through that, and she does check-ins afterwards. And there's a number 12 is a really powerful conversation with Brené Brown. And for people who don't know Brené, she got well-known through her TED Talks when she talked about shame. And one of the things she says in her conversation with Elizabeth is about shame being the number one thing that has stopped creativity. She said 85% of people have stopped themselves when it comes to shame, and 50% of those are people that were shamed in their creativity. So it's really looking at creativity in a totally different way. And she thanked Elizabeth in the episode, where she said, you know, 5 years ago, if you would have said I was a creative person, I would have said, no, I have a job and I have things to do in my life. And she said since she's been introduced to Elizabeth and just these concepts of creativity, she said that creativity is our soul work. And she said for the past 2 years, she's really realized what she does is creative work and soul work. And she said, you know, it would be very sad that we weren't sharing that with one another, because it really, you know, we wouldn't have a sense of ourselves if we didn't have that going on. So I really want to encourage people to go over and check out the magic lessons on YouTube with Elizabeth. They're really a great complement to what we're doing here for conversation. So anybody want to comment on that?
Well, I totally agree with all of that. And I think it's very exciting that there's so many ways to dance with this information and play with it. I know that I've certainly had to overcome things that I was shamed about in terms of my creativity. And, you know, I worked for the federal government for 20 years in contracting. And I took a lot of hits when I would you know, attempt to be creative, when I was working with people who really didn't understand that. And it takes a lot of courage, I think, to be willing to say, no, I'm still going to do this.
Yeah, very, very important to be able to do that. I think one of the sections that's important is called entitlement. And what she's really talking about is the entitlement of, you know, having it, looking at something that's not being appreciating yourself, and being able to have a sense of ownership of what you do just because the fact that you can create something. She has a quote. She said, the poet David White calls this sense of creative entitlement the arrogance of belonging, and claims that it is the absolute vital privilege to cultivate, if you wish to interact more vividly with life. Without this arrogance of belonging, you will never be able to take any creative risk whatsoever. Without it, you will never push yourself out of the suffocating insulation of personal safety and into the frontiers of the beautiful and the unexpected. I think it's just really great to think of it in that different way of being able to express yourself. And I love how she gets into talking about the self-talk of, you know, when it comes to, like, who do you think you are? Who, you know, why would you be thinking that you could be able to create all this stuff? And she's got this wonderful exercise about, you know, coming from a place of that I'm a writer and I'm a singer, I'm an actor, I'm a gardener, I'm a dancer. And I really want to encourage everybody to try that exercise. You know, get a piece of paper and just fill up the whole thing with just everything that you are, and then take a moment to read it out loud and really have a sense of ownership about it, because it's that tone of voice and being able to own it that I think is just so powerful. And if you go to page 96, we had a speech in the first section where she was talking to fear, and on this one she's talking to when it comes to arrogance and being a critical thinker, that inner critic. And so the inner critic would say, who the hell do you think you are? And she says, it's funny you should ask. I'll tell you who I am. I am a child of God, just like anyone else, child of the universe. I'm the invisible spirit benefactor to believe in me, and the labor and who labor alongside me. The fact that I am here is all at all is evidence that I have the right to be here. I have the right to my own voice and the right to my own vision. I have a right to collaborate with creativity because I myself am a product and a consequence of creation. I am the mission of artistic liberation. So let the girl go, see? Now you're the one doing all the talking. Gosh, I just thought that was so powerful. So powerful. So what did you think of that, Amy?
Well, for me, I really like, they said on page 94, talk about that exercise about declaring your intent about creativity. Mm-hmm. And then, really, owning that. And when you put your stake in the ground, it makes it easier to face that inner critic. And remembering there's also an inner mentor in there, an inner coach that loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
a good point.
I think we have to keep remindering, that's what's creative, ourselves and each other, that we're creative and how we use wording and how we do everything. I think, back to Michelle's point a little bit about creative and everything we do, and it doesn't have to be the big things particularly. On page 98, I really love how she says, oh, and there's another thing. You're not required to save the world with your creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but that makes me want to take a breath and go, yay, okay, phew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she makes a really great point about when she wrote Eat, Pray, Love, she was writing it for herself. She didn't write it with anybody else in mind. She was really trying to figure things out. She's going through a divorce and just really seeking to search to find herself. And so she just journaled about her life and what was going on at the time. And it's gotten to be just this thing that's bigger than she could have ever imagined. So I just think that's really awesome. And she said that, even this book, even Big Magic, Big Magic is her passion about looking at creativity. She's not writing
not
it for anybody but herself. Yeah, she's not. She's just writing it for the love of, like, let me have a conversation with this and look at all the different things and really speak. I think, in some ways she's speaking back to creativity about what that is and how to be able to look at it. So that was just, like you said, it's so nice to have that as a break that it just makes it just, like you
hey,
said.
Hey, Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was listening to a program the other day, and they were commenting about how this one athlete who continued to say that he was the best at what he did, and you had some people who thought he was arrogant, and yet, it's a state of confidence. And, the people who are, when you start moving into a space of exploring your creativity, when we talk about confidence and, being encouraged that everyone is creative, there's that aspect that own it, be it, do it, because the level of creativity that each of us are and that each of us contributes to the world is our own uniqueness of our creativity. And so we are the best at anything we endeavor to create because no one else is doing it. They are not going to do it like we did it or like we envision it.
Exactly, yeah. And that's a really strong point that she makes about that. So, thank you, Gloria. That was awesome. I want to make sure we get this into the show about page 117 on 117. It's the trick. And it really, I thought it was so great because it talks about complaining and how it's just so much better to be really positive and be talking about the different things that you're grateful for and you're appreciating. Just like anything else, it goes back to that being able to appreciate stuff. Because Elizabeth goes to say, when you come to complaining and all that, you're really scaring your inspiration away. It's like, well, I thought you were serious about this, and now you're complaining about these different aspects of stuff that we need to do together. So instead of that, the trick is to just, be appreciating it and talking about how wonderful it is and how loyal you are to the ideas. And it's just going to, it's a saying that you delight in your work, you will draw inspiration near you. Inspiration will be grateful to hear those words coming out of your mouth because inspiration, just like us, appreciates being appreciated. Inspiration will overhear your pleasure and it will send ideas to your door as a reward for your enthusiasm and your loyalty. More ideas than you could ever imagine. Enough ideas for 10 lifetimes. So, be bragging. Be a bragger about all the wonderful things that are going on. That's the nice thing about having a book club and talking about these different things. You can have people who are understanding your perspective of your being able to brag about it and really encouraging you and having, power partners in that endeavor. So what do you think of that, Amy?
I'm excited about supporting each other. And one last thing, we're about to head out. On page 121, W.C. Fields says, it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to.
Yeah. Amen, sister.
Amen
to
that.
Reclaiming your power.
Exactly.
That's
claiming
how you
your
claim your power.
And that's how you have your permission slip. You give yourself your own permission to go out and
yeah.
do all those creative things that you can never imagine for yourself because you don't need anyone else. And if you do, say, hey, could you give me permission for that? I give you permission. You go, girl. Go get it. Well, we want to thank Michelle and Amy for joining us again here at the cafe. And let us know how you're liking the show. Any questions, comments? We really look forward to hearing from you about all that. And we'll look forward to talking to you next time here at the cafe with our Cafe Book Club. We'll see you next time. Have
Woo-hoo!
A great week.
Woo!
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.